I'll call
Love
you about
Talk four. Radio.
All right. Okay.
God, fill me up, God.
Wow, wow. Fill me up. How many want to be filled up today? Glory to God. I love that song. Woo, if you provide the fire, if God provide the fire, hallelujah, I'll provide the sacrifice. If you pour out your spirit, and I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Give me something to burn as you provide for our daily needs. Oh, I bless the Lord today. How many want to be filled up? Oh, glory to God. And you know what I love about God? He keeps pouring into you. He pours, he pours, he pours. He never give up on us. Ah, do you know God will never give up on us? He remember when others forget, because he's a loving God. He's an everlasting God. He's an eternal God. He's a God that can't lie. He's a God that can't fail. Hallelujah. Fill me up, God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm looking to be filled. God, filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, filled with his anointing, filled with his love, filled, hallelujah, with his compassion, with his grace, with his mercy, with his favor, hallelujah. The Bible says his compassion faileth not. Oh, who wouldn't serve a God like this? Who wouldn't serve a God that will always, amen, will always answer you, will always provide for you, will always open up doors for you? Ah, glory to God. You know, we serve people sometimes because we have hidden agendas. Uh-huh. We have hidden agendas, but Jesus don't have a hidden agenda. Amen. Everything that he says in his word, he will stand on it. He will back it up. Oh, God, you know, people will make promises to you. I promise you this and I promise you that. Amen. And soon as you don't comply with their wishes, amen, those promises are broken. But that's not the kind of God we serve. Hey, he said, if you call on me, glory to God, even in the day of adversity, amen, even in the day that you're going through, when you begin to think about the Lord, when you begin to call upon him, when you begin to pray, when you begin to intercede, amen, and when you begin to, God, think on somebody else instead of yourself, God will come in. He'll come in, and that's what's important, people of God. We're talking this week about evangelizing. We're talking about being mandated to evangelize. And we went over some of those things on yesterday. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to be repetitive or anything, but there's a price that we must pay. And there's nothing free. When you hear the word free, there's nothing free in this world. Salvation isn't free. You have to pay a price for this salvation. You have to pay a price to live stress-free. You have to pay a price to be honored and respected in society. It's no freebies. It's no freebies. So when folks are saying, oh, we went here, we went there, and they're giving away free this and free, don't you believe that hype? There's a price you're going to pay for everything. Amen, amen. And somebody said, my grandmother used to say, you get what you pay for. Amen. If you pay little, you get little. If you pay much, you might get much. Amen. So there's no free rides. We're just not going to end up in heaven. Amen. Because my name is Adrian. Amen. James said, if you go to the book of James, it says, faith without works is dead. So I can have faith and not have any works. If I don't have faith and attach works with it, then guess what? I'm not going anywhere. faith without works is dead. So what is the Lord looking for? He's looking for us to activate our faith. And then when we begin to activate our faith, then we should be able to see something visible. Amen. We should be able to see some fruits. That's why he said these signs shall follow them that believe. What are you talking about? There should be some fruits in your life. If there is no visible fruit, oh, God, I don't even want to be in your company. Amen, amen. Even if you're not living according to the wishes or the commands or the demands of someone else, you still should have some fruits that's visible. Amen. Somebody should be able to say something positive about you. Oh, glory to God. We're talking about mandated to evangelize. And I'm not going to stay on this line long today. Amen. I'm in the midst of a convocation with Bishop R.C. Blakes, and it started this morning. So I've been running since early this morning, and I have to prepare myself for tonight's service and also have some friends in town that I have to do some accommodations with. So, you know, I'm not going to hold long. We don't have a speaker for today, but we're just going to do a little recapping and pretty much just speak what the Lord have put in our spirit on today, and then we're going to let you go. I don't see too many people on the line. I see Evangelist T, and I see Mother Charity on the line. I also see Mr. Freddie Jones, amen, on the line all the way here from Louisiana. Amen. So I'm going to go to Evangelist T. I don't know if she's in a position where she can open up with the word of prayer. And then we're just going to get on into this thing, speak a word, and really hear from our audience and see what your thoughts are. And then we're going to keep it moving from there. Amen. So, Evangelist T, God bless you. Are you in position to open up with the word of prayer?
Yes. Praise the Lord. God bless
praise
you as
well. Praise the Lord. We love you, woman of God.
We love you, too. God bless you. Yes, this is go to the throne of grace. Father God,
yes.
In the name of Jesus, we give you all glory, honor, and praise because you alone are truly worthy, Father. We love you, and we appreciate who you are today, Father. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, Father. We thank you for this broadcast that came on and just bringing us fresh manna straight from heaven. We ask we pray for the speaker on today, Father God, whatever word that comes forth, that it be edifying to the body of Christ, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father. We pray for the founder of this broadcast, Lord. We pray for her family in the name of Jesus, her mother, Lord, her sister, Lord, in the name of Jesus,
God.
Father. We ask you to cover this broadcast with your precious blood, Father God, that we be fed the manna straight from heaven, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And as we go forth, that you be glorified and you be magnified and you be lifted up, because you are the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the great I Am. There is nothing too hard for you. We ask you to bless the callers on today, Lord, that they get what they need from you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' holy and divine name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Evangelist T. We appreciate that so very much. Amen, amen. As we begin to just, again, expound a little bit on this topic, mandated to evangelize. We have been commanded. We have been ordered. We all know if we look at the book of Matthew chapter 28, and those last two verses, Matthew 19 and 20, say, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So when you're mandated, you are commanded. Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we have a mandate on our life to teach. We have a mandate on our life to preach. We have a mandate on our life to evangelize. We have a mandate on our life to prophesy, really. We have a mandate on our life to minister the word, the word, the word. The word is what's going to help us to strive to do better. The word is what's going to be saturated in our hearts. The King, King David said, "The word have I hid in my heart that I may not, that I might not sin against God." Well, we know he professed those things, but we also know that he sinned against God. But we also need to know that the Bible says, "For all have sinned." Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all have sinned. But what I love about King David was that the Lord testified about him. God began to say that David was a man after his own heart. What did God mean by that? What he was saying that when David recognized his error, when David recognized he had sinned, he went before the Lord. He didn't take it to his friends. He went before God, and he repented of that sin. Uh-huh. He repented of that sin, and he said, "Lord, I have sinned against you." So he began to plead, and that's where you look at Psalm 51 when he began to plead, when he began to tell the Lord to create in him a clean heart. So the Lord said David was a man after his own heart. Amen. So today we have to ask God to give us that same heart. Give us that heart where we can repent. Give us that heart where we can stay in right standing with the Lord. Because one thing about witnessing, one thing about going out into the hedges and the highways and compelling men to come, guess what? The devil is out there, and he knows the word just as well as us. The only difference with him and I is that he can't live holy. He's already has been sentenced. His sentence is death. His sentence is the lake of fire. But we haven't, God haven't given us a sentence yet. He has given us a right to the tree of life. He has given us a right to live. He has given us a right to strive. He has given us a right to prosper. He has given us the right to be in good health. Uh-huh. But the enemy, which is Satan, which is the devil, he already has a death sentence. But God has given us a death sentence. So I'm saying when we begin to go out into the streets, into the neighborhoods, in the communities, and begin to witness and to begin to evangelize, guess what? Those people out there know if you're real and they know if you're fake. Uh-huh. Some of them know the word as better than you. Why? Because some of them are in backslidden conditions. What are you saying, Sister Bernard? God said he was married to the backslider. Amen. But some of us look down on backsliders. Amen. And when we find out that they have left the church, we don't have no more witness in us. Uh-huh. The first thing we say, oh, they done left God. They done walked away. They done walked away. I'm not going to waste my time talking to them. No, you know why? Because they know that word. They know that word. And they know if you're real or not. They know if you're living holy. They know if you're a hypocrite. And they know if you're speaking one thing and then you're doing something else. So we have to be real. First of all, we can't be real with people if we're not real with God. Does that make sense? We can't be real with our neighbor and we're not real with ourselves. Amen. So we have to pray. And prayer is essential. We can't do anything without prayer. Our whole life should be centered around prayer. Amen. Our whole life should be centered around asking God's permission, asking God to order our steps, asking God to lead and direct us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. So what does he say? In everything you do, acknowledge God, and he shall direct your paths. Amen. So before we go out to evangelize, before we go out to tell somebody about the gospel, then we have to pray. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to get ready. And we said that on yesterday. So one thing I've learned in my walk with God is that you're not going to catch everybody. Everybody's not going to gravitate towards you. Everybody, some people may not even like you. Hallelujah. They may not even give you the time of day. Amen. But you know what? Once you begin to pray and ask the Lord to order your steps, God is the one, again, that open up doors. He's the one that lead and guide you. Even on today, I had an experience where I had one of my goddaughters work for one of the hotel chains. I won't call any name. Amen. And, you know, I'm listed as her godmother. Amen. So I get the same privileges that her biological mother gets. Amen. So I had, with this holy convocation, I had booked, made reservations for three rooms. So only two of the rooms was going to be utilized. And so I had that extra room, and I said, now we have this holy convocation here, and I know somebody can be blessed with this room. And so I began to call the administrator. I thought about it, and I texted him and told him what was going on. And do you know, he said, I know this ain't nothing but God, because he said last night, 1 o'clock in the morning, they went to check in the hotel, and they had messed up their reservation, and they couldn't even get the room. So they was trying, and he said, when I saw that text come through, I said, look at God. Well, one thing about God is he's faithful. He's faithful. We say we're faithful, but sometimes we may renege. But God is faithful. He's a faithful God, and he will always come to your rescue. And the gentleman began to share with me, say, Evangelist Benoit, this is nothing but the Lord. This is nothing but the Lord. So I had to go down twice to the hotel and what have you, and get everything ready and what have you. So I was running a little late getting prepared for this show. But nevertheless, it all worked out. And why are you saying that, Sister Benoit? I'm saying that because guess what? I asked the Lord this morning to order my steps. I'm not selfish, so I didn't want to see that. I could have canceled that reservation, amen, but I didn't want to be charged anything, because really I should have canceled it on yesterday. But the Lord already knew that this administrator needed that room. So see, God will go before you, but your heart has to be right. We have to have our heart right. We can't have any hidden agendas. We can't have no selfish motives. Amen. Nothing is in it for me. It didn't take anything away from me to present this room to this administrator. Nothing. And if anything, it just gave me some more favor. Amen. Because I have to call on him from time to time, and I need favor. So, oh God, where are you going with this today? We all need some favor. We all need some mercy. We all need somebody to extend some grace to us at once. So in the midst of that, I began to get back to my lesson today, mandated to evangelize, mandated to what? Witness, mandated to share your story, mandated to tell somebody about his goodness, mandated to encourage someone and let them know that, hey, what you're going through, it's only for a moment. The Bible say these light afflictions are only for a moment. Trouble don't last always. Amen. But if we never get out the four walls, if we never go into the communities, if we never go and talk to our neighbors, if we never share our stories with our family and our friends, then they don't know. They don't know. I was reading on Facebook the other day where an apostle, she's a woman, and she was sharing a story with this man that she had called her. He had called her, and she said a man had a gun, holding a gun, and he was getting ready to commit suicide. And she said, what? She said, the devil is a lie. She began to intercede right then. She began to pray for that man of God. And she said, you got too much to live for, brother. Put that gun down. Amen. God don't want you to end your life like that. Put the gun down. And in the midst of that, the young man put the gun down. So what are you saying, people of God? We have to get ourselves ready. We have to get ourselves ready to go out. This is a season, guess, that we're living in that we won't see again. Seasons change. People change. Circumstances change. Your situations change. So you have to be able to move and flow in the moment. Some people, I tell my brother, he's about 53 years old. You know, he called me, you know, some of my family members still call me some nicknames. And every time he called me this name, it just take me back to a period in my life that I just want to just be erased. I can't erase it because I certainly lived it. But I tell him sometimes, I say, you're living in the 20th century. This is the 21st century. And I said, don't call me that. But he doesn't stop. Every so often he'll call me this name, and I just say, Lord, help this man. Help this man. But and it irritates me sometimes, but I have to move on. I know that I'm no longer that person. I'm no longer that person. So I've been changed. I have been given an order. I have been given a command, and I can't let nothing obstruct my view. I can't let nothing deviate me from the plan that God has for my life. And do you know the enemy has set up some traps for us. Amen. He have all kind of traps set up for us, and that's why we have to be careful. That's why we have to know who we walking among. That's why we need the tools that's necessary to do effective evangelism. Amen. And if you're going to do effective evangelism, then you can't sit around waiting on somebody to invite you to their church to minister. Oh, glory to God. I got the park right there. You can't sit around waiting for somebody to invite you to their church to minister a word. Well, if God has given you a mandate, He's given you an order. He's given you a command. He's given you a charge to go out into the world and preach and teach. Then guess what? That's your pulpit right there. That's your pulpit right there. Your pulpit is in the highway and the hedges. Your pulpit is not another man's ministry. And sometimes we get offended. Sometimes we get angry. We get upset because ever nobody invited us to preach. Ever nobody invited. Well, nobody have to invite you to the streets. They're open 24/7. Somebody's sleeping under the bridge right now. Somebody's on Bourbon Street right now. Somebody's in a hotel room right now contemplating suicide. Somebody's putting a point in their arm right now. Somebody's cooking some crack right now to smoke it. That's your pulpit right there. That's your invitation right there. So you don't have to wait on another man to give you an invitation. The apostle Paul told his son Timothy, amen, study to show thyself approved. Preach, be ready to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. So, you know, as I begin to just look here in this city, in this city. There's so much work to be done. Sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck inside of these buildings. Amen. Because guess what? We have become programmed. Amen. We're so programmed that guess what? That's all we think about is a program. But God is not programmed. Amen. The anointing can fall on anybody at any time, and God can disrupt your program at any moment. But you know what? Why God don't interrupt your program? The reason why he don't interrupt your program is because he ain't even in the building. The Spirit of the Lord is not even in the building. There's no anointing in there. And that's why he lets you continue with your programs. Amen. Because he ain't there no how. Glory to God. He's not there because guess what? He's not about form. He's not about fashion. He's about souls. God looks at a man's heart. God looks at a woman's heart. He knows your thoughts from afar. It's nothing hidden from him. So that's why he's not worried about your programs, because he's not there anyhow. Amen. But we set up all of these different programs. We going to do this. We going to do that. And we don't consult God about anything. We just get something in our mind and we run with it. But if God ain't in it, I don't want to participate. If God ain't in it, I don't want to be in your midst. I want to be where the Spirit of God is flowing. I want to be where the Spirit of God is saturating and permeating the atmosphere. If it's not there, I'm going to put on my shoes and I could hold my little finger up and tip on out. Simple as that. God ain't interested in your houses. He's not interested in your grand edifices. God is interested in souls. That's what he's about. He's about souls being revived. He's about souls being restored. He's about souls being transformed, their minds being renewed. That's all God is interested in. So if we're going to evangelize, if we're going to take this mandate serious, let's start, guess what, right here in our homes. Let's start with our children. Let's start with our four, but we're going to think about more. If we start with us first, then we can teach our children, we can teach our families how to be effective. Amen. So if you don't start at home teaching your children how to be effective witnesses for the Lord, then guess what? We may as well just hang it up. It starts. The Bible says, the Word of God says, charity begins where? It begins here. It begins with us. It begins with us. Mandated to evangelize. How many people are looking at souls that need to come into the kingdom? Souls that are dying every day. You know, someone said we are living epistles. The Bible said we are living epistles read of all men. Amen. But we are the only Bible that some people is going to read. But so if we present something negative to them, then we won't be able to draw them. To win souls, you have to be wise. How do I become wise? How do I become wise? I become wise by getting in my word, studying my word. I become wise by exercising some of the orders, some of the commands, some of the charges that God have in his word. Amen. That's how I begin to gain wisdom. I learn how to pray. And after I pray, I just don't pray and then I get on up. I pray and then I lay there a little while and I wait for God to begin to commune with me also. So see, when you're talking to God, That's what confused me. We talk to God, but then we don't allow God to talk to us. And that's how we mess up. Because once you begin to communicate with God effectively, guess what? God will begin to start talking back to you. He'll begin to say, now, wait a minute. I heard your prayer. You was praying for one thing, but you remember I am a discerner. I know your thoughts. I know your heart. So the things that you just finished praying for, that's not what you really need. That's not what you really need. The things that you need, you didn't even petition me for. Oh, watch God, watch God, watch God. The things that you really need, you didn't even petition me for, Mother. Ah, glory. Hallelujah. God knows what we have need of. He said, if I take care of the lilies of the field, how much more will I take care of you? How much more will I entrust to you if you commit your way to me, if your ways please me? He's already, see, I'm getting off of what the subject say. We do things backwardly. How do we do it backwardly, Sister Benoit? How is that? Because guess what? We're seeking after things. But my Bible tell me in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then it says, all of the things shall be added unto you. But we don't believe that. If we seek God first, the things going to follow us. Turn to Psalms 23. We often hear this psalm during the loss of loved ones and friends. This psalm has become a popular psalm to send somebody away from this life. The Lord is my shepherd. We all know that psalm. Psalm 23. I remember this psalm as a little girl, and I also remember my niece that I saw today. She was about 4 years old, and she was able to recite Psalms 23 word for word. But we have taken this psalm, and we have put it in a book, a funeral book, where we're only going to quote it when it's convenient at a funeral. But let me just say this. I'm going to say, and this is the way the Lord is leading me. We're talking about mandated to evangelize. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is only a person that is there to care for you. He's a caretaker. Shepherd. He takes care of the sheep. Amen. He keeps them out of harm's way. Amen. He's an intercessor. Ah, glory to God. You got shepherds that don't even pray. How you going to be a shepherd and you don't even pray for your flock? The Lord is my shepherd, and it says, I shall not want. Now, this particular psalm don't have nothing to do with funeralizing nobody. This is a psalm to let you know that, guess what? You have somebody in your life that's going to always provide for you, that's going to always take care of you, that no matter what come and no matter what go, he's going to be there for you, mandated to evangelize. He said, and I shall not want. Now, listen at what it said. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What are you saying? Guess what? The green pastures, God have already positioned them for you. For you not to just wallow in, but for you to enjoy. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We're talking about a shepherd, and that shepherd is leading the flock. That shepherd is leading the sheep. It said, he restored my soul. He leadeth me. The shepherd is going to lead you into the path of righteousness. For what? For his name's sake. Not for the shepherd's sake, but for the master's name's sake. Yea, though I walk, David, this is why they use this psalm as a funeral psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death every day, because when we walk out of our homes, we're not guaranteed to come back. We don't know if we're gonna go if we're gonna experience a one-on-one call. collision. We don't know if somebody going to put a gun to our head. We don't know if we're going to be robbed. We don't know what's going to happen once we depart out of our living area. Amen. But it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, so though I walk out of my home every day, I'm facing death because I don't know what's out there. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why won't I fear no evil? I'm not fearing the gangbanger. I'm not fearing those out there with carrying automatic weapons out there to rob and steal and take my property or take my car. I've experienced that too. Amen. I'm not going to fear. Why? Because God is with me. He goes everywhere with me. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Verse 5 said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What are you saying, Lord? When I have to go before my enemies, the table is already prepared. God already know who's sitting across from me. He already know those that don't like me. He already know those that can't stand me. He already know those that might just tolerate me. He said he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. King David wrote this psalm. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. What are you saying? I have some blessed oil in my purse. I have some blessed oil on my dresser. Amen. So guess what? I take a little blessed oil and I rub it in my head. Glory to God. Sometimes when I'm sick, I might pour a drop or two in my water, in my juice. Amen. Because my stomach is upset. Amen. My stomach is a little nauseated. So guess what? This oil, once it's prayed over, it becomes blessed. Amen. God anointed because of your prayer. So your prayer can change things. Your prayer can activate God to move on your behalf. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What are you saying? Everything that I have need of is already in my hands. My cup runneth over. So when my cup begin to run over, I'm not selfish to let it just keep on running over. The overflow, I'm going to share it with somebody. Amen. The overflow is what I'm going to share with my sisters and my brothers in Christ Jesus. But we are people that won't share. We're selfish. We want it all for ourselves. We ain't going to go out and help nobody. Amen. We're not going to. God, oh God, help us today, God. My cup runneth over. If your cup is overflowing, if your cup is running over, guess what? The overflow is for you to share. God don't want your cup to just keep on running over and all that stuff go to waste. It's for you to share. Share this gospel. You've already been converted. You've already been baptized. You've already been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Why wouldn't you want to share that with someone else? David says, surely. Now he's closing out. He's closing out in this psalm. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why is goodness and mercy attached to you, David? Because I have accepted the Lord as my shepherd. And he's already told me that I shall not want. Glory to God. So goodness and mercy is attached to my life. I know it may not seem like it. Amen. You don't see me riding in the Bentley. Mm-hmm. You don't see me with no alligator shoes. You don't see me with no minks. You don't see me with no bling bling. Amen. But guess what? God, everything that I have need of, God has provided because it's inwardly. Amen. This inward man is being provided for. Hallelujah. I don't want to dress up the outer man and my inner man perish. Amen. So when you go out to evangelize, you want these people to know about that inner man. You want them to know about that inner man, amen, that have had an encounter with God, that inner man that God has restored, that inner man that he has revived, that inner man that he has transformed. People ain't interested in what you got on, but dress modestly now. Dress modestly. Don't go out and evangelize and you're looking like a street hooker. You can't win no souls like that. You can't do that. So goodness and mercy, David said, shall follow me all the days of my life. And guess what? Since goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life, I don't have no other option. I don't have no other choice. We had a topic on this broadcast, the choice is yours. See, we have a choice to make. We have a decision to make. Amen. But the choice is ours. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Glory. I don't care what my neighbor doing. I don't have to participate in that. Me and my house, we gonna serve God. He said, and after all God has done for me, what am I to do? What am I to do? Well, we should be like Samuel. Hannah prayed for a male child. Amen. Her womb was shut up. She was ridiculed, amen, and she was often criticized, amen, because she couldn't bear children. Oh, but Hannah took that petition to God, and Hannah began to petition God, and Hannah said, I want a male child. And Hannah began to talk to the Lord, and Hannah said, God, if you give me a son, she said, I promise you I'll give him back to you. I promise you no razor will come up on his head, and I will lend him back to the Lord. Well, how about the prophet Samuel was one of the greatest prophets that was in Israel. Amen. And Hannah weaned her son. She weaned him for until he was 8 years old. Amen. And at 8 years old, Hannah honored that vow. Don't make a vow to God that you cannot keep. Hannah honored that vow, and she brought that boy to the sanctuary. She brought that boy to the house of the Lord, and she gave that boy back to the Lord. And when she did that, God allowed this young boy to be nourished. God allowed this young boy to be trained. God allowed this young boy to glean from his elder, amen, and he became one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. Because guess what? His mother trained him. His mother, Holly, honored the vow that she had made to the Lord, and she went and gave that boy, put him at the house of the Lord, and the priest, amen, began to teach him the things of God, amen. Whatever you're doing, whatever you have petitioned God for, don't get discouraged. Don't be dismayed. God knows all about you. He said, God, sometimes people look at you and see your present situation, your present circumstances, and amen, you may not have a car. You may not have a home. You may not be a homeowner. You may not even have change in apparel. Amen. But they can't recognize that greatness that is upon your life. They don't know the vision that God have given you. See, and so that's why it's not good to share your vision. Amen. Sometimes it ain't even good to share your dreams. Glory, because people are jealous. We call them today in the 21st century, we call them haters. Amen. But you don't want to be in the midst of haters. You want to be in the midst of people that celebrate you. Amen. God said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. God will turn some things around in your life, but you have to be sincere. You have to know that the Lord is your shepherd. You have to know that goodness and mercy is attached to your life. You got to know that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. See, God will attach goodness and mercy to your life. Amen. And he'll let that goodness and let that mercy follow you. Amen. But the devil knows goodness and mercy is attached to your life, and that's why he set traps for you. That's why he set traps for for you. Because guess what? I don't look like what I've been through. Amen. If we all told the story, none of us look like what we've gone through. Amen. But what you see now is not what you're going to see later. Amen. Because I have a destiny, and that destiny is Christ Jesus. I've been mandated to evangelize. Uh-huh. That's a gift. I didn't ask God for this gift, because the Bible tells me that my gifts and callings are without repentance. So I didn't have to repent to get this gift. I didn't have to do anything to warrant this gift, because his gifts and callings are without repentance. I didn't even know I had this in me, but I know I always was able to talk to folks. I know I always was mindful of people. I always had a mind to be a blessing to others. I never looked down on people in their circumstances, in their situation, and their misfortunes. Never looked down on them, because guess what? If I did, there go me. That could be me sleeping under the bridge. That could be me putting a point in my own. That could be me ready to put a pistol to my head. That could be me out here destitute. So who am I to look down on somebody else? Because they might be in a Pinto and I might be in a Benz. Well, if it wasn't for the grace and the goodness and the mercy that was attached to my life, I wouldn't even be in the Benz. I'm thankful for the Benz, but guess what? Baby, you could give me a Pinto long as it get me from point A to point B. I'm going to keep it clean. Amen. I'm going to try to make sure that the maintenance is kept up on it. I'm going to try to make sure that my insurance is paid. Hey, glory to God. And as long as it performs the same function that Lexus, that Cadillac, that Mercedes performed, I'm all right with that. Oh, God, I don't want to go back to the Pinto days, but guess what, Lord? However you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I'm not going to murmur, and I'm not going to complain, because you cannot evangelize with a murmuring and complaining spirit. Do you know people out there that been in church that them backslide, they know that spirit? You can't witness to them murmuring and complaining what I ain't got. Well, praise God and thank him for what you do have. Amen. I have learned, and I'm closing on this note right now. I got to close. I have learned in these past 16 years that my daughter was murdered and I had to raise those children. I've made myself content. The Bible said, "Be in whatsoever state you find yourself in, be therefore content." I made myself content. Ah, why? Because guess what? The Lord had to work some things out of me. I was a single woman. My two children was grown. I started over raising children again. And when my two was grown, I thought it was over for me, honey. I'm fancy. I'm free now. I want to travel. I want to see the world. I want to absorb myself so much into doing the will of God, into ministry. Man, I thought I was free. And then this happened to my daughter, and I had to take her four children and had my sister, you all know my sister Danielle's been in prison, had to raise her daughter. So that's five children. So you know what? It changed my lifestyle. It changed my mindset. Uh-huh. I had to let the Lord work with me and on me. Uh-huh. Because I couldn't go to the shopping center and buy three and four pair of shoes for me no more. It wasn't about me no more. I had to make some sacrifices, because now, guess what? Me looking good wasn't a priority. I had to make sure I had some shoes and some clothes to put on these children. I had to make sure that I had to feed them. I had to, glory to God. I had to make sure I kept a decent roof over their heads. I had to make sure I trained them in the things of God. Now, some of them have departed, but guess what? My Bible tells me train them up in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart. They haven't gotten old yet. They're young, and one or two of them departed in their young stages. But going to trust God because his word told me when they get old, they won't depart. So guess what? I have to allow them to make the mistakes and bump their head and stuff the way I did. I did that. So I can't get angry with them. But we're living in a different age, people of God. We're living in a different era. Amen. Things have changed. We're not dealing with the same spirits that we dealt with when we were coming up. You didn't have gunfights. These are gunfights. Now they don't fight no more with their fists. You know, we would fight with our fists. And if you get whipped, you get whipped. But now they ain't taking no whipping with no fist whipping. There's no more fist fights. Because once you physically attack somebody with their fist, they go and get their Glock or whatever they got. They go and get that for you. Uh-huh, and it's over with. So we have to, people of God, in my closing, we have been mandated. We have been ordered. We have been charged. We have been commanded to evangelize. We have been given this command by our Lord and Savior. We have to do this. We have to allow the Lord to minister to our hearts. Amen. As I say it again, your vision, God gave you a vision. He told Habakkuk to write the vision and make it plain. He said, and them that read it, they're going to run with it. See, we write our vision, and then we're trying to run with it. That's out of order. That's out of order. Let me close on this. I don't want y'all to think I'm just talking. So I want y'all to go to Habakkuk, because this is not me. And the Lord just put that in my spirit to tell you all that. Habakkuk. Ah, God, I bless you today. Habakkuk. All right, let's go to Habakkuk chapter. Now, I didn't even answer that phone. How did that call come through? Habakkuk, let's go to, Jesus, write the vision. Habakkuk, come on. I'm on the computer. Bear with me, you all. We closing on this particular verse. We're going to close Habakkuk chapter 2. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. Here go, Habakkuk. We're going to start at verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2. It reads, and I'm reading out the King James Version. It say, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. This is Habakkuk having a conversation with the Lord, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Listen at what Habakkuk said. The Lord answered Habakkuk and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. We're writing the vision, but we're trying to run with it. The vision is not for you to run with it. The vision is for those that read your vision to run with it. Oh, God, that's a revelation there. He said, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. See, we want the time to be today. But God may have that appointed time set 5 years from now. Look at what he did to me. Look, 30 years, I'm back in New Orleans. Nobody could have told me this 20 years ago that in 10 more years, God going to send you back to New Orleans. What? I would have said, the devil is a lie. That's what I would have said, because God hadn't shown it to me. He had given me a vision to come back to this city. I would be lying. He gave me an instruction, not a vision. He instructed me to come back. I've never seen the vision. Still don't see it. So Habakkuk Hannah said, for the vision is yet, the Lord told Rebecca, the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, when the vision begin to materialize, when the vision begin to manifest itself, he said, at the end it shall speak and not lie. So what is you saying, Sister Bernard? What is he saying to Becca? He gave Becca a vision. He told him it was for an appointed time. He told him the vision is going to speak. He didn't say it was going to speak tomorrow. He didn't say it was going to speak in July. He didn't say it was going to speak in December. He said it's for an appointed time. But he said it's not going to lie. He said, though it tarry, what you mean tarry? Though the vision seems afar off, tarry means to wait. Tarry means it ain't happening right then. It ain't like no microwave, you pop it in and then it pops out. Tarry means to wait. He said, though it tarry, though it seems afar off, wait for it. Ooh, that's a word right there. Don't it tarry, wait for it. You got to wait for it because the Lord is telling Rebecca it will surely come and it will not tarry. What are you saying? Every promise that God made to you, every promise that he's shown you about souls, every promise that he told you, people that was assigned to your life, they coming. You might not see it today, but it's coming. I sometimes might not see but three or four people in the service. But Mother Charity, I trust God because I know he can't lie. He can't lie. And I didn't even expect to be having service within a year's time. I moved back at the instructions of God in April 2014. In March 2015, I hosted my first Sunday service, not even a year later. Why? Because I trusted God. I saw the vision. Uh-huh. I followed the instructions of God, but guess what? I pursued the vision because after God instructed me to come, then God starts saying some things to me. He started talking to me. He started directing me. And this is how he told me to do, even with this broadcast. God structured this broadcast. He told me how to set it up. Uh-huh. This is not my doing. This is God's doing. He told me to have a topic, have a focus, where when people come on this radio broadcast, they would all be talking the same language. They would all be speaking the same thing. He said, you give them a topic, and each one that come on, you have them to expound and elaborate on that topic. Yes, he did. And even the name of this broadcast, he gave me that, a time of reflection. He said, I want you to reflect on my goodness. Oh, God, who wouldn't serve a God like he? And that's how I get a time of reflection. This is the name of this broadcast. And I dedicate everything I do with this broadcast. I dedicate it to the Lord because he's the one that opened up this door. I didn't know nothing about being no host on no radio blog. But when I launched out, when I launched my ministry almost 5 years ago, the Lord spoke to me, Mother Charity, and he said, I'm going to introduce you to people that you know not of. Uh-huh. That's what the Lord told me. And I said, well, how in the world are you going to do this, God? Because I'm in a little hick town, and these people might blackball me. I done stepped out, I done launched out into the deep on my own, and you telling me that how you gonna introduce me to all these people? Did not have a clue what God was talking about. But guess what? as I look at the stats today, I'm looking at the dashboard today, and today's stats say total listens to this broadcast. I want y'all to get this because I'm trying to encourage somebody to let you know if God said it, I don't care what man say not going to be. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's going to manifest itself. Today's listen audience, 78,934 people have tuned in and listened to this radio broadcast from November 2011 up until June 2015, 78,934. Now you tell me if God is a liar. They have called in by the telephone, they have listened by the internet, and then they have went back into the archives after we shut down. Somebody's scrolling and surfing the internet for a word from the Lord. So it blows my mind every time I look at it, because God said, I'm going to introduce you to some people that you know not of. Didn't he tell Elijah when Elijah said he was afraid and he was running from Ahab? He said, Lord, running from Jezebel. He said, Lord, guess what? He said, I am the only one left. And the Lord had to make it real. He had to make it plain. He said, wait a minute, Elijah. What? You ain't the only one I got serving me. You ain't the only one opening up your mouth to me. You ain't the only one praising me. You ain't the only one living right. He said, I got 7,000 that haven't even bowed. Read your Bible. He told Elijah, E-L-I-J-A-H, I have 7,000 that ain't even bow. So don't you ever think you're the only witness. Don't you ever think you're the only one that can evangelize. Don't you ever think that you're the only one got a mandate on your life. Glory. He said, I've got something that's not of this fold. Amen. So I'm telling you, people of God, be encouraged. Whatever God has put in your spirit to do, whatever he has mandated you to do, don't let no devil stop you. Don't let no hater stop you. Don't let no perpetrator stop you. You pursue. Hallelujah. You pursue. Vigilant. Be diligent in your pursuit. That what God promised you is coming to pass. The vision that he's given you, guess what? It's going to speak and not lie. I'm done. This vision will speak and not lie. How many have been mandated to evangelize? We ain't been mandated to go sit on no pulpit. We ain't been mandated to go rub one another's arms and praise the Lord and high five. We've been mandated to evangelize. And if you're not out there sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, then shame on you. If you're not willing to tell somebody what God has done for you, he said, if you are ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. I'm done. Let me open up the lines. I got to get out of here. Woo, glory to God. I love you today, Lord. Mandated. Don't miss tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow. Amen. Apostle Christine P. Francois out of New Orleans, Louisiana. She's with New Revelations Prophetic Ministries. She'll be with us on tomorrow. Hallelujah. Somebody say tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Mandated. Hiya no no moshaya. Mandated to evangelize. I'm going to open up the lines. I see Mother Charity. God bless you, Mother.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Bless you, too.
God.
I certainly have enjoyed those words, my God, Lord, coming from the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was hot bread from heaven. Hallelujah.
That was hot bread from heaven. Oh, Lord, Mother.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Glad. Amen. That the
Amen.
Lord has blessed you to bring forth those words of life. I tell you, they have done me so good. Hallelujah. My soul was agreeing with everything you said. Praise God. Amen.
My God.
Not as the Lord, amen, hallelujah, mandated to evangelize.
Mandated.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Chosen for this reason. For this text. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to our great God. Well, we are certainly praying for you. Glory to
thank
God.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Mother.
Courage, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we are praying for you. How's your mother doing, Sister Evangelist?
She's doing better, Mother. She's doing better.
I'm glad.
Of the righteous. They certainly are availing.
Absolutely. You be encouraged. Praise God. All right, then.
Well,
and God bless you, and you pray for us.
All right, Mother. God bless you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to Evangelist T. Amen. I'm going down the line, people of God. We only have about 7 or 8 callers on the line today, tomorrow. Tune in. You don't want to miss this woman of God tomorrow, all the way from New Orleans, Louisiana. She'll be on with us tomorrow. We also want, I'm going to get this announcement out the way, want you all to remember Bishop Blake's. They're in their holy convocation this week. Went today, tomorrow, and Friday. Pray that everything will be a success, and pray that some souls will come into the kingdom.
All right.
Amen.
Thank
souls.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you, Mother Evangelist T. God bless you.
God bless you, too, God, Mommy. Oh, my God. I'm glad we're on this topic of mandated to evangelize. And I'm trying to drive, pull over, take notes. Phone cutting off. But anyway, the Lord is so good. I thank God for this message. And some of the things that you pointed out, they were real profound. You said, share the gospel. You said I accepted the Lord and my shepherd. You also said, oh, my God, in the name of Jesus. You said, your outward man is being provided for. And then you also said, the God used to say, the inner man that will encounter God. And you say, don't go out and evangelize looking like no street hooker. Lord Jesus.
No street hooker. That's it.
And we ain't looking right, and we supposed to be the people of God. We're supposed to represent him. We ain't saying God out of fancy clothes or nothing. But, you know, be presentable. You represent God. You can't go out there looking any kind of way. And I really appreciate you saying that. You said the choice is yours. And you said, you said we have a decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
The prophet Samuel was one of the greater prophets. And then you said, don't make a vow to God that you cannot keep. You said Hannah kept her vow to the Lord. And then it said, it is not good to share your vision and dreams with everybody. You got to be sincere. So I just thank the Lord today that because I know I'm one of those kind of people. As he was speaking, he was having me evangelize to people while you were on the line. So I just honor God today that I know I'm mandated. He said, you can't be trapped in no walls any longer. He said, no longer will you hold on to the words I tell you today. You don't want to tell people. And then when you do tell them, they don't want to receive it because they say, you ain't no pastor, you ain't no preacher. But
what?
It's style of the Most High God, and I'm going to give you what God tells me. Either you accept it or reject it. So I thank the Lord today for this message. It truly came on time, yesterday's message as well, and I'm doing what God has mandated, according to our sight, to do.
Hallelujah.
For your family constantly, and we
thank
love you. With the love of the Lord, and everything going to go well for you tonight. And we ain't going to hold you on the line, so you got work to do. Hallelujah.
Yes,
God.
Lord.
And God bless you, Mother Charity. I miss you.
All right, all right. God bless you, Evangelist T. Amen, amen.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Brother Freddie. God bless you. Are you able to talk? Then I see Pastor Carmelite, and I saw Minister Bankston on the line. God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. Did you want to comment or say anything about the word today? You're welcome to do so.
Oh, it was a beautiful word. You know, I really, truly enjoy every time I hear you. You know, you really are a soldier for the Almighty, and you're really doing a good job. You got to be bold, you know, because everybody is afraid to go out there and give the word. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I applaud you for that. You know, you're definitely doing a good job, and you know, Almighty constantly blessing you.
Mm-hmm.
You can get some good messages. You know, and I
Hallelujah.
Love you know what you're doing. I'm very proud of you. You're
well,
doing a
thank
very
you.
And I hope people take heed to what you're saying, and hope people take heed to what you're saying, and try to be a soldier too for the Almighty. Just go out there and just do it. Do what you got to do. Don't be afraid to get a word out. And I really do enjoy it. So thank you for everything that you that you opened my eyes up to a lot of things. You know, and uplift my spirit. I love it. Thank you. And I'm going to start doing the same
you.
Thing.
All right.
Many people I could. Many people who ever want to listen, I'm going to try to, you know, give them your word.
That's it. And that's our mandate. Well, amen. We're not to follow them. We're not to harass them. Our job is to just present the gospel. And, you know, it's up to them to take that word and apply it. So God bless you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Amen. We're going
Thank
to Pastor
you.
Karma Lee. God bless you, woman of God. We miss you.
Oh, yes. Hi, Pastor. Good evening to you. And I missed you all, too. I was so glad that I was in here doing things, but I was so glad I didn't wasn't able to tune in for the entire broadcast. But what I heard was such encouragement. But I just wanted to say to you that it's such a blessing because you're not just talking about pressing. You are pressing. And so even though you have all of these things going on, you're still coming on and pouring into God's people, and that's what people need to see. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's not. I'm just not just talking about not complaining. I'm not complaining. I'm doing what
all
God
right.
has called me to do in
Jesus.
Spite of. What
in
I see in front
of
me, in spite of what's going on around me, in spite of what the enemy is trying to bring. And that's what encourages the people. So I'm just encouraged today. I thank God for you, and I thank God that he will continue to use you to bless his people because you are such a blessing to the body of Christ. You really, really are. So I love you, and that's all I wanted to say to you.
My God. Well, thank you. That's such an encouragement to me. You know, you strive every day. We all have our challenges, and we have our struggles, and we have our disappointments, and you know, it's a great need for us to really unify. And if we could ever grasp the real true meaning in the essence of unification, guess what? We would take over. We would do just what the Bible says. We would be able to leap over troops. Amen.
Yes.
We would be able to take over territories and really not for any self-grandiose, but for the kingdom of God. Souls are dying. And we're in the buildings playing Russian roulette with people's lives. And you got folks dying. You got people desiring to hear a word of encouragement. There's people that's out there have been wounded and hurt because of church folks. And they have walked away. God didn't do them anything. The people did them something. But they took what the people did, and guess what? They accused God of it. God have never did any wrong. Ah, glory to God. He is sovereign. He's the creator.
That's right.
Amen. Everything belongs to him. But we allow people to run us away. We allow people to influence us and disrupt our lives. And some of us go out and we're never able to return. So those of us that's in the body, It behooves you to stand. I don't care what Sister Joe and what Brother Mike might say about me. Baby, you ain't driving me out the presence of God. You might drive me out the building, but when you drive me out the building, all I'm going to do is witness to a soul. Amen. All I'm going to do is petition God, and guess what? God gonna give me a place to worship. I'm going to always have a place to worship because God the token. He got folks that ain't never bowed down. So your place of worship is not the only place of worship, sweetheart. Please know that. You're not the only pastor, and you're not the only one got a ministry, amen, that God has open and available to somebody else. So if we would take our eyes off of people and put our eyes on the Lord, guess what? We would be at peace.
Yes.
We would be at peace.
Yes.
But our eyes are on folks.
Mm-hmm.
Our eyes on how they look, how they dress, what kind of hairstyle they have. Well, please, God ain't interested in that. Jesus, I was going to change clothes for tonight's service. Yeah. I ain't changing no clothes. I ain't going there to impress nobody. And if the Spirit of God ain't there and they ain't saying nothing to enhance and encourage me, I'm going out the door. How about that?
That's right.
So
that's
I want
right.
to take the
that's
time
right.
to invite you all, those of you that might be in the city of New Orleans, amen, to the Holy Convocation with the Family of Churches Fellowship International, where the presiding prelate is Bishop Pastor R.C. Blakes and Samuel Blakes. And that address, they're in services nightly at 7 p.m. The address is 1616 Robert C. Charles Blake Drive, which was formerly Carondelet Street. So if you're on Carondelet, you're in the right place, 1616. They just changed a few of those blocks in honor of Prophet R.C. Blake Sr. Amen. So we just want to get that announcement out nightly at 7 p.m. I don't know the order of service for the day service, but if you're on social media, you can go to Facebook or Twitter, or you can go to their website at New Home Ministries, and you can see that information. Amen. So I am not changing no clothes, Pastor Carmelita. I'm going just like I am. Amen.
Amen.
So God bless you all. Thank you, Brother Freddie, for tuning in today, Evangelist T. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Carmelita to close us out with a word of prayer. I'm not going to play a song because I got to get down to the downtown area and take care of some business, and I'm running a little bit behind. So, Pastor Carmelita, would you just close us out with a word of prayer?
Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly, most gracious Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, God, we thank you, God, again for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for what our ears have heard. We thank you for what our spirit have received. And Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that even as we have heard your word, God, that we will not just be hearers, but that we will be doers, God, that we will go out into the highways and the byways and tell someone the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father God, we thank you, God, that you will pour into Pastor Adrian everything that she poured out on the line today. We pray that you will bless her, make every crooked road straight, God, cause all things to work together for her good. We pray that you will bless every person that's represented on the line, every family member, God, in the name of Jesus. Meet every need. Bless them individually. Bless them collectively, God. Do as only you can do, God. Heal, set free, and deliver in the lives of your people, God, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise, give you the glory and all the honor that is due you. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior's name, we pray. Amen.
Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, we'll see you all tomorrow. Apostle Christine Francois will be ministering the word for us on tomorrow. So invite someone to come on. And you see our flyer on Facebook, share it with your friends. Amen. So we're looking for a prophetic word on tomorrow. Amen. And she is a woman that walks in the prophetic. Amen. So I'm excited about her. This is her first time coming on and speaking for us, so we're excited about it. So tune in early. We're going to get her right on up. All right. God bless you all. Have a beautiful day in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Bless you, Evangelist T. Bless you, Brother Freddie. God bless you. We love you with the love of God. We are signing off right now.